Okay, welcome to the Planning and Community Development Committee meeting for November 1st, 2021. I am Kathy Holgarty, the chair of this committee, and I am here with Councilmember Verna Steele and Councilmember Thomas McLeod. And this agenda is on our agenda is an interlocal agreement for inspection between the City of SeaTac and City of Tukwila, and Jerry Height is going to talk to us about that. I see he's on the screen. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you. We had an interlocal before with SeaTac for a long time. The actual interlocal that we had was archaic, and we're trying to renew it. We didn't really... We kind of did it on an honor system where we'd send them an inspector, building inspector, or electrical inspector. When they needed it, somebody called in sick, we'd go up and help them out and vice versa. So this is to formalize that and record all the times that we go up and they go up or come down and help us out. It's a mutual agreement. We are going to track it, and it's going to be $80 per hour that we're going to spend, and they are. At the end of a quarter, we're going to balance out the time, and then the one that's deficit will have to pay the $80 an hour. It's a simple process. Mike. Your mic, Kat.
Thank you. Seems pretty straightforward, and it's something that you've been doing already. So we'll start this time with Tom. Tom.
Okay. Hi, Jerry. I do have a couple of questions. I think we've been super busy. That's what we've been hearing with permits and building. So how does SeaTac have capacity? You know, we're looking for help. We're reaching that way. They got the time to help us?
Yeah, they have electrical inspectors, and we have one. And that's kind of tough for Jim Benner, our electrical inspector. He can't take vacations, and or you know, when he calls in sick, it's tough on us. So he is our singular inspector in that trade. So he has family in Canada. He likes to go visit him once or twice a year at least for a week or so. And we can get Four Leaf to do the inspections, or BHC. They have the capability, but this is financially a better deal. It's very, very expensive to have them come in and cover.
Is there any difference in the codes between SeaTac and Tukwila?
No. State code.
Okay. And if this is a good deal, why not do it with Renton also?
Good.
I mean, is there kind of a south end base that could help each other? And
I don't think I have to look into that. Like as I stated here, we've had this agreement before with them. Like I said, it became archaic over time. So
now's okay. I was just thinking of our neighbors on the one side versus the other. I don't have a problem with it. It makes sense to me to collaborate that way. And, you know, could we even create a little broader collaboration in helping one another? So that's it for me.
Maybe a good idea.
Thank you, Tom. Verna, do you have questions, comments?
Yeah, so we have one electrical inspector. And when that one electrical inspector is there, then we're in trouble. How many building inspections, and this also includes building inspection as well?
Yes.
How many building inspectors do we have?
We have one building inspector, Bill Senton, and we have two plans examiners that cover the inspections if it goes over, you know, where it can't handle the workload.
Okay, so this really doesn't do much to speed things up, per se, or does it? Because, I mean, that's one of the things that we're hearing is, permitting is taking forever. Everything is taking forever. You know, that's what we hear. And I'm hoping that by memorializing this kind of gentleman handshake agreement that we've had, that this will kind of help in that regard.
The plan review and the permit process, once that is completed, then it goes out, we issue the permit, and then the inspections start to occur. That's where this interlocal comes into play. And you've had complaints that we're behind or busy or haven't get to.
Yes, we hear that constantly. And Tom and Kathy will back me up on that. I mean, literally. Constantly. I can tell like three neighbors right around me. Every time they see me, I'm like, here it comes. And projects are held up. We've got, you know, developers that, you know, are, you know, they've got financing hanging in the balance.
Yep.
Anyway, but I'm hoping this helps.
It'll help being consistent to have the 24-hour turnaround time, which is the inspection process we're trying to maintain. And as far as plan review, we have BHC, we have Reed Middleton, we have consultants that we're feeding, farming out to, feeding. And we're doing the best we can with what we have. We do have one building inspector position that hasn't been filled.
Yeah.
We've had trouble over the years trying to get somebody in here, so.
Okay, so I think this will be interesting because there is a financial impact, and I think it's interesting that we haven't tracked that in the past. So I think next year's council, as you move through the budget process, this will be something to really take note of as to, is this making a difference? And like Councilmember McLeod said, if it makes any more sense, kind of like, you know how FIRE does like a consortium, like let's pool our resources together to provide the best service that we can. Maybe that's something to look at for next year as well. But as far as this goes, this agenda item, I am fine with it, and I am fine with it going to consent agenda. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
And that's my question. Do I have consensus to send this to the consent agenda on November 15th?
Yes.
There you go. So who's taking notes? Who's the note taker for the minutes today?
I can do that, council member.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that also they can take minutes. Somebody could take minutes.
Recording, probably.
Yeah. But maybe taking a few notes now would be good. I don't know. Happened. Jerry, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank all of you very much.
Okay, so we are on to our second and last item on the agenda, and that is the multifamily property tax exemption program. And Derek's going to talk to us about that today.
Yeah, you're going to have both Brandon and me. We're tag teaming this item. So I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction, and then Brandon's going to get in a lot of the nitty gritty and meat of it. But I wanted to just start with an overview. I know the three of you council members are already familiar with the MFTE program, so we're not going to go into a lot of detail. Quick reminder, city adopted it originally in 2014, and back then it was really just focused on the South Center District. And really back then, the primary goal was we had not had multifamily housing in the South Center District. We knew we wanted that there. So it was an incentive that the council adopted on a very short-term temporary basis just to get a couple of projects through to show that people did want to live in that neighborhood and that people would pay enough rent that would justify new development, because there were developers that weren't really comfortable that they thought they could make money by building in the South Center District. And so as you see in the staff report, Brandon put some information in there about the developments, the three that have come through. So application period for that sunset, and since that time, housing continues to be a big issue in the region and Tukwila, as you're well aware, both market rate housing, both also affordable housing. This is talked about in the housing element in the comprehensive plan, and the MFTE is one of the strategies that's mentioned in there. Also more recently, the council adopted a a housing action plan that talks about, especially around the light rail station, and in that it talked about an MFTE as a way to encourage housing and affordable housing. So about a month, maybe 2 months ago, Economic Development was asked to take the lead to bring through the MFTE program through the council process again to see if the council would like to make changes to restart the program, such as what geography is in Tukwila or what criteria would we want to go after? Where do we want more housing? And so Brandon's and my plan is to bring that through the council in a comprehensive fashion next year, 2022. Hopefully every new policy could be adopted by then at the end of 2022. However, we also know that there are two projects that are pending out there right now that want to move forward a lot more quickly, that are telling us that the MFTE is sort of a, not sort of, is a critical component of their ability to do their project. And these two projects, in our opinion, are ones that seems like we've seen a lot of clear council direction, that there's strong interest. One's in the South Center District, and so that's really about just restarting the existing program, really just changing one date in there, let another program project come through, and Brandon's going to describe that project in a little bit more detail. The other is up on TIB, and it's about ownership housing, and Brandon's going to describe that project, but basically, we have very little ownership multifamily housing in Tukwila, perhaps maybe just a couple of projects, one condo building or two or three maybe. And so we understood that that is probably a priority for the city. So what we did is we proposed, rather than trying to make them wait all year to get through the whole process, we proposed a three-step process. So it's step one, step two, and step three. And I'm going to hand it over to Brandon now. He's got a presentation, and he's going to talk about what each of those steps are and when we would be coming through the council process. And then we're both available for Q&A and whatever you want to do. Brandon?
Thanks, Derek. I'm just going to share my screen real fast. The presentation is it's everything that's in your packet. I just wanted to have a little bit of a guidance here as we went forward. Can someone confirm that they can see my screen?
Yeah. That's not in our packet, is it, or no?
It is not. It is not. But it's just the outline of the packet of the memo. There's nothing here that's not that you haven't already seen. And I'm going to go through this real fast, given the fact that you have seen this in the packet. So, like Derek talked about, the multifamily tax exemption is allowed by state law. It's optional for cities to adopt. You don't have to do an MFTE. Tukwila came very late when we adopted the South Center the South Center MFTE a few years ago. It allows the residential improvement of a project to get a property tax exemption. However, any commercial activities in the land still pays property taxes. So like at the hotel over at Washington Place, where they have the Hotel Interurban and the Aramark Apartments, the entire land still pays property taxes, and the portion of the property where the hotel is, the structure still pays the property taxes. State law, when we did our program a few years ago, we only had two to pick from. One was the 8-year exemption, and this is allowed under state law. There's no affordability requirement with the 8-year exemption. And then there's also a 12-year exemption that's permitted under state law, provided at least 20% of the units are set aside for either low or moderate income households. That's if it's rental. If you want to do ownership, you can meet that 20% only with moderate income households. And then this last legislative session, the state adopted a 20-year exemption permitted for certain nonprofits and city projects, provided those projects provide 100% owner-occupied housing. So that is a new tool that's made available to the city if it wants to look at adding that into our tool chest. So Tukwila's program that we had in your packet, you have a copy of the map that that the area allowed to. So it was the transit-oriented development area in the South Center District west of the Green River. So it allowed both an 8- and 12-year program. No one used the 12-year program. We did have three projects that took advantage of the 8-year program. The city, and this is something that you can do with the MFTE, you can adopt additional standards. So a lot of cities choose to add certain requirements to qualify for the MFTE besides just having the affordability component or just having the housing component. So what some of the things that we added was we added a minimum size of units, and a certain number of two bedrooms had to be provided in those projects in order to qualify for the MFT. What we did not want was someone simply doing all studio housing and get the MFTE. As Derek mentioned, the program sunset at the end of 2017, so we don't accept any new applications. We have three that did take advantage of the MFT. The first is the Airmark Apartments at Washington Place, Marlboro at South Center, which is an active senior housing complex, and then Holden at South Center, which is assisted living, as well as memory care. For those last two, those were something that we had not really envisioned when we did the MFT, was that senior housing and assisted living would be utilizing the MFTE. So as Derek noted, we're looking at a three-phased approach. Phase one would be November and December of this year. This would be reference to that project that Derek talked about that is in the Todd area west of the Green River. It's the same geographic area that we adopted last time. We would need to adopt we need to extend that date to allow people to submit. One of the things and one of the reasons why we still think that this is needed in the South Center District, the three projects that we have a different financing structure and a different economy than a traditionally financed multifamily housing project. Senior housing and assisted living is a different creature. And a different financing and a different profit model than a traditional multifamily. And you might say, well, what about the Airmark Apartments? As we noted in our staff report, they utilized a significant amount of EB-5 foreign investment to make the project happen. And in fact, we used a consultant back when that project was first proposed, and they said, look, a traditional bank is never going to loan on this project. So it was a way to kind of help us get the market going. And we still think there's an opportunity to find that one traditionally financed all ages multifamily project in the South Central District. Next, phase two would be the first quarter of next year. This would be for owner-occupied housing along Tukwila International Boulevard. Again, this is we have a project proposed that is looking at all owner-occupied housing, and they would like to take advantage of the 20-year exemption if it's possible. And then finally, phase three, this is the more comprehensive look that we would do next year and look at all areas of the city that allow housing and determine if there's other areas where it would be appropriate for the MFT to apply. In the memo, we noted some questions that we would like to look at next year. I'm not going to read all of these, but this is kind of, it's a very broad questions that we need to ask as we expand the MFTE. You know, one of the big questions is the MFT necessary? Does a development actually need it to make its project a reality? What are the financial implications to the city, school district, and other taxing districts, as well as what are the financial implications to our other property taxpayers, because we essentially shift the tax from an existing project onto to the rest of the taxpayers. And then finally, you know, if we have affordability requirements, we have to monitor that for 12 or 20 years. How would we do that, and how would we make that work? So staff recommendation, Derek alluded to this, we would come back to the PCD on November 15th with the draft ordinance to address the South Center District. Early next year, staff would come back with an ordinance to address owner-occupied affordable housing along TIB. And then in 2022, we'd start that more comprehensive look. We'll come back to the council with a work plan, as well as probably going to need some budget dollars to hire a consultant to kind of help us with some of that financial analysis. So with that, I'm going to stop sharing my screen. So did my screen should be off now, right? Not sharing anymore?
Okay. Thank you, Derek and Brandon. So we will start with Councilmember Steele, Verna. Comments and questions.
Okay, thank you. I feel like we've been talking a lot about this lately, which when we just went in, we did the Housing Act and the plan. So I am 100% in favor of us going forward with steps one and steps two, which is the South Center District project, which that one we would be bringing forth to the council in November. And then step two would then be the project for TIB. And then step three. I mean, we need to do something. We need to do something to attract affordable housing or housing, just housing options. I have said that since the very first day I got elected 16 years ago, is that Tukwila, we need housing options for everybody, for everybody. Not everybody wants to live in a house. Not everybody wants to live in an apartment. Not everybody wants to live in a townhome. There should be something for everybody. If you want to live in Tukwila, you should be able to find what you need. And what I know of these, especially step one and step two, I think that this is an appropriate use of the MFTE. So I am very much, and I know this is discussion only. I really don't have any questions because I feel like we talked about this a lot. I understand the program. So those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you, Verna. Councilmember McLeod.
Thank you. I also would be supportive of step one and step two. The one thing that's missing for me in here that I would like to see is some sort of in general formula that would tell me, well, how much tax are we really considering giving up for a project? I may be okay with giving that tax up based on the project, but I want to be able to give it some text or give it some structure. So for instance, you've got some examples in here, like say Holden. Well, I may want an assisted living facility where Holden is located, and I'm willing to give up that multifamily tax exemption, but I still don't know what that number is. So I feel like I'm doing it a little bit blindly. Is there some sort of formula that I could play with that you could give me to say, for example, this is the revenue the city will give up to invite that opportunity. And so that's kind of a trade-off. I don't mind having this in our toolbox to bring to the table to offer somebody the 8-year or the 20-year. But, is there a way for me to just understand what is that number? Because right now I just feel like I'm kind of blindly saying, okay, I like the concept, but I have no idea what the impact is to the budget.
We can tag team that. Why don't you go first, Brandon, and I can add in.
So first, I think it's very easy for us to look in the past. We can take the three projects that we got from that qualified for the MFTE already, and I can outline what their deferral is. What's a little bit complicated, and Derek can speak maybe a little bit better to this than I can. What's a little bit complicated with it is the projects don't totally come off of our tax rolls. They get, depending upon when they get put in, they stay into our total assessed value, and then it gets spread out across everyone else. So it's all dependent upon when they actually enter the MFTE program. Like Washington Place entered the MFTE program very late, in the sense of by the time they got their CFO, it took them so long to build that. CFO, sorry, I got finance on the brain. Their certificate of occupancy. By the time they got their certificate of occupancy, they were like at 80% completed. And so what happened was the assessor had already appraised that. They were already being taxed at that, and then it went off the tax roll for them, but then spread out across everyone else. Derek and I have looked into that, but Councilmember McLeod, we can look at that. The issue that could happen is someone could get on the tax, could get it done very quickly, and then we don't get it into the tax onto our tax roll. So we can look at that and kind of give you like if here's how it works for a specific project.
Okay, but let's say you took that on Marvell and say, all right, here's what it would be, and then you're saying we don't lose the revenue, it gets spread to the rest of the taxpayers. Oh, that's fine, but how much gets spread to the rest of the taxpayers? I still don't know that number. And I think when you start to have conversations with people, that would be helpful to have in the conversation.
And we can provide something sort of like a very rough idea. We could say, if it's a $10 million development, and an example, if it's a 100-unit apartment building, and let's assume it costs them $300,000 per unit to construct, that's like what Bellwethers would be. Tukwila Village is about that. So we could say, based on that, that what would be the value of that building? And so in essence, what would be their property tax savings from that. And then the question, like Brandon said, that the amount that the property owner saves does not necessarily mean the city does not get that revenue, because there's that timing issue. If the city doesn't get it, that means it gets reallocated to other property taxpayers. But I just want to mention one other thing, and that is, it also is key to the question of, would the development have gotten built anyway without the incentive? So if the development would not have gotten built without the incentive, then in essence, it's not really a tax loss, because we would not have gotten that money anyway. So that's always one of, but we could put, Brandon and I can put some kind of a handout together. I don't think we're going to have it ready for November 15th, but we can put it together and get it to the council as soon as it's ready.
Okay. I understand that there's some projects that maybe wouldn't have gotten built without some sort of certain deals at the table, but there should be kind of a way to generalize from a high level. Here's kind of the impact it has on the developer, how big or small it is on the city, just to give us some context.
And Councilmember McLeod, the one thing I would also point out, and just, you know, this is for next year as part of phase three. Depending upon how many projects actually take advantage of the MFTE is how the city's budget would be impacted. One project is easy to calculate, but like we allow, you know, if we got more projects in the South Center area, or we got more, or we got other projects, that would impact that budget analysis. Now, that's why we put the window on to the South Center district to have that time frame for when they have to submit, because we think we can reasonably estimate within a certain amount of time how many projects are going to come in. That's why we don't leave it open-ended. So, but that's another thing, food for thought.
Okay, thank you.
One thing that Brandon said, there is another reason why we don't recommend leaving the application period open-ended, and that is this concept of, this incentive is intended to help jumpstart development, but the concept is it's not really good policy to just have a subsidy for all development in the future all the time. And some cities have sort of found themselves in that situation now, where new apartment buildings are all expecting the MFTE. And what happens is then they sort of get addicted to it. And so then they get stuck, because it starts to affect other property values. So it's, the MFTE has a way of influencing what kind of development will happen. And so we just want to be sort of thoughtful about that and not have a long-term ongoing subsidy.
Can I ask a couple more questions?
Yeah.
Is a project too big for the MFTE? Can one be too big for it?
Are you asking from a statutory standpoint, or simply just an economic development?
Size, like the size of units, the number of units.
There's no, the state law only requires a minimum number of units, 4 units. It does not provide a cap. So you could do a 500 unit apartment complex or condo, and the state law does not provide a maximum number of that. Now, the city could, through our own process, we can, if we wanted to, we could go and cap the number of units that a project could be, that could a property owner or a project could get. We could do that.
Okay. And my other question, what if a developer got a whole bunch of other things in their developing process here in Tukwila, and now they're asking for this also? I mean, would we then kind of look at all of that and say, you know what, we gave you these other things, we're probably not going to allow this one here? I mean, do we look at that in a vacuum, or would we consider it the entire project?
If the council adopts this, it'll be codified in our TMC. It'll have criteria. And so any project that then qualifies for that criteria would be eligible, and we would not have a subjective role as a city. So unless those other benefits somehow became part of the criteria, then no.
Okay.
They would get approved.
All right. I yield back.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I have some questions. I'm in support of the steps, the first South Center District, TIB, and then the comprehensive look, just taking some time and seeing, you know, what do we want to do moving forward instead of every time we want to do an MFTE, we're starting all over. But we have some sort of conversation about these are about, where do we want to see more multifamily housing? Where do we want to see renovation and memorializing this? And so I think that's really a good set of questions there. So now I'm going to go back to step one and talk about South Center District. So that is, you're proposing the area that's hatched, cross-hatched, or just single-hatched. That's where you're thinking, or something like that, right? On page 13. Okay. So in that area, is there any developable land that is like vacant land, or would something have to go down for something else to go back up again?
So there is no vacant land. There's perhaps underutilized land, but what we saw with the three projects that took advantage of the MFTE in that area was they were significant redevelopments of existing properties. So Circuit City is now Washington Place. Kinko's, the old Kinko's building is now the Holden Project. And if you remember, there used to be at the corner of Baker and Andover Park East, there was a medical office. There was like a 3 or 4 story medical office that got bought out, and then that got demolished as part of that to make way for Morville. Derek?
Yeah, and Derek, looks like Derek wants to add on to that.
Yeah, if I could. Thank you, Chair. And part of that shows how this MFTE is an incentive that changes the economics of what kind of development gets developed. So for instance, because those properties were already built, they had some kind of a building on them, it's possible that, well, they would have gotten some kind of revenue from just leasing out those existing buildings. And so the MFTE was sort of an incentive to demolish those existing buildings and build something new, and it helps tip that scale from leasing out or renting out to an existing use. And we think in the current South Center District, we think that's what would happen if we reopen this and let another project or two come through.
Yeah, and I like the idea of opening it for periods of time and letting developers know, or starting some sort of process where they know that we're not going to keep these open for a long time. However, there may be something in the future, but we can't promise you that it's going to be at a certain point. So get in here and do your stuff right now, right? If you want it, then come do it now, because that's that time incentive that we're looking for, because we need this housing, I think, sooner rather than later. I know we do. So one of the proposals that I have is adjacent to the South Center area, we do have Tukwila Valley South, and they have shovel-ready apartment places where they can build apartments. So then the question is there a cost benefit for giving them a multifamily tax exemption? Should we do that? Or why would we want to do that for that area? And it could have to do with amenities, but what I was thinking of was that they'll probably start building pretty soon, and this might be an opportunity, looking memo, for us to think about what we might want to shape in that area. For example, they're not probably the exemption that they would go for would be the 8-year exemption, because of the design standards in that area, they're going to be too high to be able to do affordable. But what if we took that to be able to say, we need more family size units in the area? What if we did a multifamily tax exemption for any project that wanted to have a certain amount of 2-bedroom or 3-bedroom units? Or what if we wanted to encourage an development with parking that's like underground parking or better parking? Would we want to use the multifamily tax exemption for that? And so that developers that might want to do those things would have, it might make those tents a lot better, be more affordable for them. So, and why I bring this up is that I would think that that is more of a specific incident and not really part of a comprehensive preview. So I'm just proposing that that be looked at, the why of that, or before step three. And I was going to propose that to my fellow council members that, again, this is discussion only. The draft ordinance would address the South Center District, but just say move up that conversation since they're ready to go with their stuff. Do we want to do anything in the Prado District or the Tukwila Valley South? Any comments?
Kathy?
Yeah.
So you would want that to be included in, what would that be, step one, or it would be its own step?
No, it'd be probably included in step two, because step one needs to get going.
Step one is South Center District.
Right. But remember, I'm talking about, I'm saying it's adjacent to South Center District. So what
right.
is it we need to do is we need to get, we need to have our housing. This is part of our Growth Management Act, is to get this housing. And really, the only place that we've got that's going to grow right away is Tukwila Valley South, because they're shovel ready. Now, Tukwila South Center District, hopefully somebody will come by, but they've got to buy a building and demolish and stuff like that. So it's not as fast, maybe. So these are my thoughts as far as getting development going, because we do have a supply and demand problem. And really, so what we would be looking at is, do we want to give a multifamily tax exemption to the Tukwila Valley South? And I think you were sort of alluding to that, Tom. And so, you know, do we want to do that? But we have to ask the question. I'm just saying, I want to go there sooner rather than later, since things are, we'd go there in step three, but just step two, because just get this process going is why.
So,
yeah, Verna has something to say.
So in this discussion, Derek, or somebody, so step one and step two has like little financial impact, stuff is shovel ready. And so, like you said, I think it was up on the screen. I'm not finding it in here right now, but where was it? Anyway, something's going to go to the Planning Commission, then it's going to come back to us still in November. And that's regarding the one development, correct?
So basically, step one, the South Center District, is what would be coming back to you on November 15th. It's not going to go to Planning Commission. We're going to work on an ordinance.
Okay.
Because to adopt the MFTE, you adopt it by ordinance. So if you like this plan, we will come back to you with proposed ordinance November 15th, then for you to review and decide if you want to send it to the full council.
Okay.
And the reason we're really rushing this one is because the developer that wants to do in the South Shore District has an option on a piece of property in the TOD area that I don't want to talk anymore about the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we think it's a very credible, very real opportunity that we think we don't want to lose. So that's why that's being prioritized on a timely on that time basis.
Okay.
And that's also why we're proposing just reopening the application period for 1 year, because we're confident that developer would be able to come through within a year and get the application approved, and then the construction would happen and be done within 3 years after that. The second phase step is because of the project up on TIB. That's really the Wattageer project.
Right.
And they are really trying to get an application to HUD for HUD financing in March.
Yeah.
And the reason we made it a separate step is because it's a whole new type of thing. It's ownership.
Yeah.
It's a different geography in the city. So that means there's a whole lot more ordinance that we would have to bring forward and write. And trying to figure out the way like Brandon mentioned, the management on the ongoing management of how are we going to monitor, and they're going to do it. They want to do affordable.
Right.
So there's a lot of monitoring there. So we need a little bit more time to get the language figured out for that. And then that's why, So I would recommend, if the council wants to do something, if you like other projects in addition to those first two, I would recommend making them a step three versus step two, because I am worried about adding anything on step two could delay step two. So if you like step one and two, I would recommend don't add anything to those steps. Just put something in right after it.
And that makes sense to me. And where I got confused is I can never keep track of what our committees are called. Every time I see PCD, I think it's the Planning Commission. I don't know why, my fault. Well, I won't have to worry about that very much longer. But every time we change the names of our committees, I can't remember them. So my mistake. So I get it. I'm fine. One and two. We're good. Bring it back. Or one.
I'm going to tag onto that, Verna, and ask a couple more questions. So, yeah, when we were all talking, I was thinking, yeah, we need to have step one and step two be their own independent thing so we can get those through, right? But when I look, I do want to look at Tuckwilla Valley's house and just give them a yes or no or something and just, you know, get that. Because really, step three is a comprehensive, so what's our vision here? What do we want to see more of, right? And the addressing Tuckwilla Valley's house isn't really part of that. It's more like, okay, so now we've got these two that we've gone through. So now do we want to give Tuckwilla Valley's house a family tax exemption or not, or why not? And then let them be done with it so they can just keep moving forward. We want them to keep going, right? Well, maybe we can get this or maybe we can use that and have developers hemming and hawing for them too. I would like to see us just address it, decide what we want to do. And then step three is really the big picture. And then let's just talk about the big picture after that. Get these three things going and then take it from there. So what say you, since I am proposing something new, Verna and Tom, council members, this is just we bring this as a proposal. You don't have to say yes or no. This is my, you have to say, yes, please say yes or no. A proposal that Tuckwilla Valley South be a step three that we just look into the what we would do there, if we want to or not. Get that settled rather than have that go into step three, where it could be a couple of years or, you know, a year down the line or something before we look at all these big picture questions.
I thought we were okay with one, right, which is Tuckwilla Valley, and that's going to come back in November. I'm cool with that. That's fine. Then two gets tackled after the first of the year, right before March or whatever that is. And then three, then I think the full council needs to discuss what they want to do on three, right?
I think she's proposing one, two, three, and four.
Right.
We have a new number three, and the current three becomes the new four.
So what's the three?
Tuckwilla South.
So we're talking about three
individual. Aren't we talking about, isn't Tuckwilla Valley South one?
No, that's the South Center District, and Tuckwilla South is not in the South Center District.
Okay.
So there's three projects. Tuckwilla South Center District, that's like where Washington Place is, right?
Okay.
Two would be, you know, Wattagier up by the mosque.
Yeah.
Three would be Tuckwilla Valley South.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
And then four would be now big picture. Let's do the big picture and talk about some of this stuff.
So Tuckwilla Valley South is just the one that's not sitting in here.
Because it doesn't have, it's pending, but it's pending in a different way, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
So what do you think, Tom?
Yes, I'd be okay with that. I still want to know what is the savings then to the developer? What is the opportunity cost to the city? That question will never go away. So
right.
Even if it's at a high level, I'm okay with that, but I want to be able to give it some context and not just have it be a piece of information that we none of us know, and we're all talking about this thing here. Well, they're getting tax credits and these people aren't, and what's that loss to the city? And, you know, people start having discussions on that, and maybe they're not even relevant, because when we do put the pencil to the paper and do the math on it, the number's just not that big, or we're okay with a big number because of what it's going to bring to the city.
And And that's where I want to reframing, because we keep hearing, well, we're losing. We're not. It's a win. So instead of saying, what are we giving up, or, you know, what are we giving, what taxes are we giving up? It's really not that we're giving up taxes. We're getting something, and then something is spread out over time. And that's what I hear on the other side going, if somebody was to say to me, I am opposed to this program, that's what they're saying, is because the city is going to lose out on a whole bunch of stuff. And I think you just need to reframe that conversation to say it's a win.
But you have to do more than, more than just a win from conception. That could be the big win. So, for instance, we were getting some property taxes from Circuit City. That went away. And if somebody came back and built a 5-6-story building, maybe we would have the same revenue because it's a similar type building, maybe. But then if someone said, well, no, but we would like you to give us tax credits because we're going to build a 19-story building, which will totally change the vision for the whole urban center. I might be willing to say, yes, I'm in. We'll give you tax credits to help create a new vision for the area. Yeah. And then I would say, well, this is what the city's part is in that, because we're giving these credits. They amount to this much, which maybe isn't as much as we first think because they get spread out.
Right.
But I still might say I'm willing to be in because that's a unique project, changes the whole vision.
Yep, I agree.
So
we're in agreement.
That I have, and that is, so how does that shift? What does the tax burden look like on the rest of the city when we give this tax exemption, right? Because we know that this isn't like impact fees where you lose them, right? This is a tax exemption which shifts the funding. And, you know, I should have known that, but I didn't really think that through until today. I mean, if you say that, it's like, well, of course that's how it works. But I hadn't really thought about that till today. So the question would be, okay, so what does that do to the tax burden on the rest of the city if we give you a multifamily? And that's actually a good question for what it's going to be now step four when we look at the big picture. How many of these do we want to do and how long do we want them to be? Because every time we do it, it's shifting a tax burden onto everybody else. So I'm making some notes here.
I'm probably in favor of all these projects because I think they're needed. And they're in the areas we want to make more dense with housing. Uh-huh. Whether they're affordable or market rate, that's not the question we're talking about here. Right. I'm all for housing in these areas. I still want to know what's that number that we talk about. And we talk all around and don't pinpoint and say, look, we're giving these MFTEs to this developer. You know, the city then, you know, doesn't get this revenue or maybe gets less or gets it from other people. It's this much. This is the benefit to the developer. But we still want that project there, so I'm willing to do it.
It's part of that big picture for project.
So, okay, I'm going to ask staff, do you feel like you got it? What we're asking for? It seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing you say is it seems like I'm hearing consensus that really you'd like to see a four-step process, adding Tukwila South as step three to come immediately after step two. Mm-hmm. And that way we can adjust, we can amend the staff report. So when we come back November 15th, we can basically show a first step process. And then if you could speak to that at the full council, that would be good.
And so how, just to memorialize Tom's question, will you answer that or are you going to put something in the report or you'll do something like that?
We will definitely put together some kind of a memo handout about that. I don't think we're going to have, I'm confident we're not going to have that ready for November 15th because that would really be due very soon. And my understanding is, well, let me ask this question. Is that an essential piece of information to have before you decide on step one? Because November 15th is really just about step one. If it's absolutely necessary, we will find a way to get that handout and make that handout. Otherwise, we'd rather bring that to you when we've got it ready, which probably would be probably in mid-January to December by the time we have that handout ready.
Derek? So if a resident comes to me and says, we can't afford that, what's my answer to them?
Well, we do have a memo from a 2014 when the council first adopted MFTE. We could more quickly get that memo that talks about the tax implications on the city. We could brush that up a lot more quickly.
That might be fine at a high level, but when this I'm asked, how do we afford that? That's a hit to the budget. We can't afford to do that. We're, you know, and I got to be able to respond with something.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the short answer is, in general, it is not reducing tax revenue to the city. In general, it's reallocating that to other property taxpayers.
I hear that. Show me.
I mean, yeah. Oh, so what I hear you saying is you really need to have that before November 15th is what I hear you saying.
Well, I don't know if I need it by then, but eventually I need that to talk to residents and say, no, here's how the math works. Your concept is wrong, and here's why. And it doesn't impact the city like it sounds like in just, you know, short conversations. So I need to be able to prove that statement that it doesn't impact the city as much as we think it does.
Sure. Well, we definitely want to put that information together for you. It sounds like you're giving us a little bit of flexibility where we don't necessarily have to have it for November 15th, but we'll get it to you as soon as we can. Is that workable?
Yes, I'll take it on the 16th.
So again, to me, it's all about memorializing the request, and so to make sure that with our super busy schedules that we all have, that it doesn't slip through the cracks.
You will not let that slip through the cracks.
That has to be just information wise, you know. So
that by the time it gets to the full council, the COW, perhaps we'll have it in time for COW. That way you'll have it before taking final action. Would that work?
Yeah, probably would.
Okay.
I believe that one of these projects is paying less in taxes. And then I'm thinking, well, then that's less revenue for the city. You're saying no, because what they would have paid gets spread out to other people. So then, all right, the city then is not out all that real estate tax money because everybody else is then paying more. Okay, I just need to be able to share that with somebody. And look, here's the example. I could show them or show me and say, here's how it happens. City's not out that money because you residents are paying more, or you business are paying more.
Yeah, it's a very valid question. We had that question in 2014. We needed to create a better handout for it, and we'll definitely work on that, and we're going to try to get it to you as soon as we can. I know that the next few weeks in November are super busy, and so we're just trying to get that ordinance to you, but we will get it to you as soon as we can, and I'm highly confident we'll get it to you before the full council discussion.
Yeah, and then Tom, if you mentioned that when during discussion time that you're asking for that and you're looking forward to that, again, that'll help reinforce that is coming. We're going to get that information, and all council members need to be aware of that, and they can all use that information when we get it.
Yeah.
So that is good. So Tom, I'm just going to confirm that if you know that information is on its way, that you would be able to make a decision on step one without that piece of paper or information.
Yes.
Confirming that. Okay. So that gives staff a little bit more flexibility. They've got till the 16th. I'm just kidding. So anyway, okay. So yeah. And
I could move forward on step one and step two, you know, but I just know that I need to have this conversation probably with residents, and probably because of my background, I wouldn't go into that conversation without knowing my numbers pencil out. And here's how they pencil out.
I think that's really fair. Okay, so then the other thing is that we will see a memo with, we're addressing the South, where's my step? We're the South Center District, then TIB, with which is basically what is your Tukwila Valley South, and then the comprehensive look through, because that's when we think like, you know, are we just going to be doing MFTEs all the time and people are, or how are we going to, what? We've got these three things that are pending, shovel ready. Let's address them. And now let's look at this. What do we want to do? Derek and I had a conversation earlier. Do we want to do something on Tukwila Hill? You know, or do we want to? The world has changed since we addressed this, I don't know how many years ago, in our zoning code. So we got some work to do. We got some things to think about. So, and what I mean by the world has changed, the housing market has changed and become way, it's just so much more competitive. I'm telling you all things you know already. So, okay. So you've got what you need, right, to move forward. Is that right, Derek?
We do, yes. Thank you.
Great. All right. And we're done, no miscellaneouses or anything like that. Okay. Good. So I will see everybody at 7 o'clock.
Bye.
Your little break. Okay. Bye.